Will the owner of this Ferrari 348, who bought it just last August, be able to sell it now for more money or less on the same platform? Or is he about to lose his ass? Find out now. Hello, everybody. We are back to the Bid Nerds without Michael Deeb here. Let's see if I can get him on screen. Look at that. We've got him. My partner is there. That's exciting stuff. And we also have Mikey P in the house. He's in the Rami studio here in Las Vegas, where Michael Deeb is in his studio in the yet-to-be-named San Francisco studio. We've got a bunch of names that we've been bandying about. Camera looks a little different today because we're having some technical stuff, but who cares, right? We're having at it. We're doing a show. We're doing a show. Ecamm sucks. What we do on this show is we find the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. We have a conversation about that car, and we make a prediction as to what's going to happen with that car's auction. At the end of the show, make sure you stick around because we will reconcile our predictions with what actually happens with the car's auction. We are always wrong. The Nerd Herd is always right, though. Don't you think, Michael Deeb? We've been getting, you know, Ross and Anthony and Mike, all the Michaels and all those guys are doing such a great job. They're killing us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The engagement is off the hook. And yeah, they've always got great takes. And a lot of times they're better at it than us. That's for sure.
I really think we need to start doing this show live so we can get those guys to just put their bids in and we'll just put their numbers up and just say, hey, look, we'll crowdsource this thing. Our predictions are going to go to the Nerd Herd and forget us because don't listen to experts. Michael Deeb, you're officially an expert now. You are working for Hagerty. Is that right? Did that just happen?
Absolutely. I start on June 12th, right after Broad Arrow Group hosts the 75th anniversary sale for Porsche at the PEC Atlanta. That'll be on Saturday or Sunday, a week from now. And then on Monday, I start as a car specialist for Broad Arrow Group and Hagerty Marketplace. Hagerty Marketplace is online at Hagerty. They have both classified section and online auctions. Which we'll start obviously covering a couple more of those. But I'm very excited to start that. JP, I got to tell you, honestly, I'm a little bit nervous about my appointment. I feel like I'm joining the Yankees because a lot of the guys that started Broad Arrow Group have a long history in the luxury live auction space. I've made it to the big leagues, my friend. This will be pretty fun. I'm excited and I'm intimidated, man. It's a big deal.
Well, congrats. You'll have the Nerd Herd behind you helping you along the way. For the record, Broad Arrow and Hagerty are not sponsoring Bid Nerds. We get no support
not
from
yet.
Them yet. Not it
yet.
Could happen, and we're totally open to that. We love our supporters. We love God and Classic and God and Porsche of Las Vegas. They have been around since the beginning, so love those guys. And if you want to avoid the whole auction fiasco in general and just get a classic Porsche, just go to God and Classic of Las Vegas. Mikey P is from God and Classic. Mikey P, what's up, dude?
Yeah, the glue guy. What's up, Mikey? Mikey hashtags.
I like your dinosaurs on your shirt, man.
Thanks. I wore it just for this. I didn't really know I was going to be on.
Didn't know you were going to be on, but he wore it just for this. Yeah.
Mikey, I hate to put you on the spot on the air, so please forgive me if I'm scratching a wound, but because I don't live in Vegas and I don't get to talk to you all the time, forgive me for that. Did you or did you not officially get or officially pass on that, if I can bring it up gently, that beautiful Cassis car that I know you had earmarked for yourself, but I also understand that, you know, you are in a professional relationship and maybe you need to cohabitate in a larger den with you and your cubs, but like, did you get the car? Or did you not get the car?
I didn't. That car actually went to a California dealer, Porsche dealer, and they're restoring it for the restoration project this year.
I bet I know who it is in Palm Springs, right?
I don't
Galpin.
Know. I don't know.
Yeah. Godin and Galpin are close family friends. If they would have let that car go and had to compete against it, it would only go to a family they love and trust, and that's gonna be in Palm Springs. But whatever. That's neither here nor here. I'm sorry that you didn't. Yeah, there's always another one out there. That listen, Gary Ackerman, who employed all of us at one point, has a list of like 7 rules, and I think rule number 3 is there's always another car. And I can't, in the 3 years I worked there, that came up like every 2 weeks. You know, like I heard him or Paul Jarrett would say that to me, and they meant it. And I was like, yeah, I know, but then after so many of those, and when you're in the business, you do realize there is always another car. That was a beautiful car. I could see you rocking it with style, but there'll be another one.
Absolutely.
Indeed. All right, guys. So let's get to today's most interesting car. And this is one of my personal favorites. You know, Michael Deeb, just heck, take it away. I was going to try to tease it.
Okay.
Forget it. Just go. What do we got?
JP, you know I picked this car for you. I'm going to keep rubbing 348 spiders in your face until you get off your damn wallet and buy one. This one would be perfect for you because the 348 came out and they made it for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And then in the last year or two, which would be like 94, 95, and I think maybe 93 is in Europe, but not 93 is in the US, or maybe it is. I'm not super well-versed on the Ferrari lineage. They upgraded the cars, kind of the version 2.0, if that makes any sense. You know, we see that with the 964, but Porsche does a good job of doing like 3 years of production, then a mechanical or cosmetic or both upgrade, and then they do another 3 years. Ferrari makes a car for like 4 years or 5 years, and then on the last year or two, they give it these upgrades and they phase it out. This is on Bring a Trailer, a 1995 Ferrari 348 Spider with just 27,000 miles, and this car got the upgrade. So from like, oh gosh, I got to read it to you, John. From like 296 horsepower, this car has 315 horsepower. It's got a slightly wider track. It's got slightly revised suspension. I'm sure it came with a new version of the Supersport tire. So all these little mechanical upgrades that they probably discovered while racing the car in the 348 Challenge, they brought a few of those upgrades to the production car. And this is one of those cars. It's black on black, so it's got the Polnick package already. It's a Spider because we know you're the king or the ringleader of the non-cabriophobes. This car just looked really nice, JP. It's worth mentioning that Bring a Trailer sold this car to the current owner in August of 2022, so not even a year ago, and that guy paid $67,500, and at the time it had chrome wheels. So it looks like this guy went ahead and put the correct wheels back on, because the chrome wheels in when he bought it were actually 360 Modena wheels. So he either sourced or affixed the correct 348 sort of throwing star wheels in the silver paint. The car looks to be in really nice condition. The leather doesn't even have like a lot of wear and tear on it. 27,000 miles is a car that hasn't been babied, but it's also not a high mileage. So I think for Ferrari, that's like pretty decent average use. There have been a few owners over the life of the car, but you know, when you get to the early 90s on these sort of, you know, mid-engine cars and not the big collectible V12s, I think it really doesn't matter. So anyways, nice looking car. Nice presentation. You know, is this, JP, as I send it kind of over to you to tell me what you think about the car, and then I'll keep reading up on it because I know we're sort of winging it here today. Is this the last great, affordable, fun to drive, semi-reliable Ferrari? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a gated manual, but it's not 150 grand. You know, it's not the problematic 308s and 328s. The 348 is a car with like a high revving. I think this might have been like the first flat plane crank motor. I could be wrong on that because I'm familiar with Ferrari, but I'm not fluent in Ferrari. It still has 300 horsepower. It still revs pretty high. It's a great. These are really good driving cars that were long unloved. You could have bought this car for 40 grand a few years ago. We know it traded for like 67. I still think this car could be well under $100,000, but is this the last really great deal out there for a car you'd want to drive? Answer that question and tell me what you think of this car, JP.
Yeah, I do love it. I mean, it really does speak to me. The black on black really sells it. Look, the thing about the 348 is that it just, yeah, it's in that sweet spot that, is it as fast or as good as a 355? Probably not, I guess. I don't know, but who cares? It's not like... This is just so much fun. This car is such a sense of occasion. I am concerned about, I mean, they're not, I wouldn't call this a reliable car. This is definitely one of them that the engine has to come out for all that service and stuff like that. But it's not as bad as people say, I think. I've never owned one, so I don't know. I'm scared. I'm just too chicken-ish to ever get one. Something would have to change in my finances where I just wouldn't have to worry about, you know, $10,000 and $20,000 repair bills, which is realistic on these old Ferraris. That can and does happen.
Mikey Hashtags is in the studio from Godin. Maybe he could just stroke us another check, you know, and re-up our their endorsement for our show. So can we start pandering to our host so you could buy a Ferrari, John? I mean, what are we going to do?
I am pro that idea there. So what do you think? Where do you think this car is going to land? Like, what's going to happen with this auction? Is it going to bring the big money, or is it softening up?
Well, John, things are softening up all around us. You know, we're doing the show a little later than we normally do in the week. We were looking at an SL65 earlier in the week, which is already closed. Similar story, black on black car, low miles, nice condition. It was an SL65 AMG Black Series. The guy paid $400,000 for it late last year and then brought it back to market on Bring a Trailer for a second time in less than a year. And $340,000 is what I think that car sold for. Now you say, oh wow, he lost 60 grand, but you have educated me and some of the herd. He didn't lose 60 grand, JP. He lost maybe $100,000 on that car. And that's nastier than a WAF sting, right? I mean, and this guy, I'm going to tell you, JP, could be in for if the car sells, you know, you start with where did Bring a Trailer set the reserve on this? Did they set it as high as what the car sold for last time? Or is BAT cognitively aware of the market changing around them? I'm telling you, in order for this guy to bring this car back to market in less than a year, BAT had to get him to agree to a lower reserve. That just makes good business sense. I'm assuming that's what happened. And if they did, this guy could be in for a rude awakening, even if he spent a little bit of money on the car. So while it sold for, as I mentioned, $67,500 on, let's call it really quickly, 26 bids, our car is sitting at right now just $12,500 with 3 days to close. It's going to be on the weekend, but there's no football right now. JP, I'm telling you right now, I think $65,000 is the number. And again, you can look at the paperwork and say he lost $2,000. And I'm going to tell you, look at his wallet, his bank account, and the look on his wife's face. And I'm telling you, this guy's going to lose 20 grand, 25 with tax and all the stuff he got into this car. In California, which is where the car is titled, he's not getting a tax credit or a registration credit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This guy's in for a world of hurt bringing this car back to market too soon in this economy. Big mistake. And so 65 is my number, but it's going to cost him more than that.
Well, I mean, I think what you're referring to is, you know, the big loss is how much inflation there's been since.
Right. Exactly.
Since last year. So that's the big adjustment that's kind of invisible. Like, you know, you have to factor real dollars. What's a real dollar worth today versus a year ago? And it's, you know, probably 10% less than what it was a year ago. The other thing that we've got to worry about, too, is that, like, you know, we had Lucky Lopez on the show last week, and, you know, he's a big believer that there's going to just be a big old crash and all the prices are going to dump and everyone's going to be running around. And if you have cash, you're going to be able to just gobble stuff up. And I honestly think he's wrong. I think that prices are going to drop a little bit. I don't think they're going to crash because the adjustment for inflation. I think you're going to see stagflation. I think instead of cars getting bought up for low prices, I think you're just going to see less movement unless the cars are really solid. If they're blue chip cars, I still see things like really nice 911s, you know, things that are like that that Lamborghini Countach that Doug DeMiro sold over on Cars and Bids for 600 or 7. How much did that thing go for? 800? I can't even remember.
Which one was it?
The yellow
the Lamborghini
Countach, yeah, that he
Yeah, 675,000. It was like 125 above me at the high bid at 550.
So, yeah, and so that's the thing is that we're sitting there talking about that car, and that car is a terrible driver's car, right? That car is just, but that car's value is based on the fact that it's art. It's something to behold. So cars that kind of fit in that category, I think, are going to continue to do well, or at least okay, as a hedge to the inflation that's coming. I think people that are sitting there with, you know, with liquidity are going, where can I put this cash to guard it against inflation? I don't think that sitting on a pile of dry powder makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. I mean, it just doesn't, because that it's the value of that's going to be offset. The feds, you know, keep raising interest rates a little bit here and there, and you know they're high, but they're printing. You know, they're spending all kinds of money. They haven't stopped the spending, which means inflation is going to keep going up, and people have this erroneous idea that you can do something and you're going to have an immediate response in the economy. Like, oh, okay, we raise the interest rates now. That means that's going to curb inflation immediately. It doesn't work like that. You know, the things that you do to affect inflation correctly don't happen until later. The negative things happen right now, and the positive things happen later. And I think that as we continue to go into a weirder and weirder economy, you know, the debt ceiling was just raised, which means they've got another $4 trillion that they can find a way to spend, and they're gonna. So there is going to be more money pumped into this system. And if anything, look, the interest rates going up the way the feds have been kind of creeping them up and creeping them up and creeping them up, it's just like Macy's in November. If you go into Macy's in August, right, they start creeping the prices up. You know, you have a Labor Day sale and it comes down a little bit. But from Labor Day to, you know, Black Friday, the prices go up every week. All the prices are really high so that by Black Friday, they can drop the prices by 50% and say, look, we dropped prices. That's all the feds are doing. They're creeping it up so they have somewhere to go, because they know that they've painted themselves in a corner. And, you know, it's just they're just going to keep kicking the can down the road. And inflation is just going to be part of modern monetary policy like it has been for the last 30 years. And I don't see anything changing there. So I just don't see this next crash, if there is a crash, is not going to be a repeat of 2008. Anyone who thinks it's going to repeat of 2008 does not understand what's going on, and I think they're going to get burned. So putting your money into something cool, like maybe even this car, I'm with you though, Deeb. I don't think that it's going to bring the same kind of money that it brought a year ago, even though he's done some upgrades. I think 65 is a good guess, because the car is a nice looking car, and it is the later one. Yeah. If you want to 348, this is kind of the one to get, I'm going to go bearish. I'm just going to park it right behind you and just go 60, and think maybe it's in the high 50s, low 60s, makes sense. Mikey P, you got anything to add to that?
I'm not a Ferrari guy, but I think it's a good looking car.
You'd look good behind the wheel of that thing.
I think it would make anybody look good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go just above you, actually. I'll go $1 above you.
Okay. And
I think there's something magical about, I can't say perfect because there's never going to be a perfect car, but any great example of a car that's iconic, I personally think is going to keep value.
Yeah, and this car definitely lands in that kind of like 90s, 80s and 90s thing, which is kind of the sweet spot right now.
So, yeah, it's JP, you kicked it off when you said spirit of occasion, which obviously is a term we borrow from our friends down in Santa Cruz, the DWA guys. But they've got it right. They're spot on with that. And I like, you know, what they stand for by creating the whole Radwood brand and, you know, highlighting and honoring these cars that we grew up with, our generation grew up with in the 80s and 90s. And this car absolutely has it, probably as much as any Ferrari. And it's hard to say the term tangible Ferrari. It's an oxymoron in itself. But of the handful of sort of unloved Ferraris, I don't know that one embodies a sense of occasion better than this car does. So great take, John, and we'll see what happens.
All the looks of a Testarossa, but the drivability of a 355. I mean, that's what's great about it. It's nice. A nice little sweet spot and not terribly expensive. So, all right, guys, what do you think is going to happen with the auction on this 348? Now is the time for you to put your bids in the comments below and timestamp them. Let us know that you're playing along. What time would you guys like us to do a live show? We're going to do a once a week live show. Probably Sunday night is kind of what we're leaning towards right now. But if we got a bunch of feedback from the Nerd Herd out there telling us that there's a better time, we could adjust that. So let us know in the comments below. I know some of you have already put that out there, but we are kind of paying attention to that. And also we're still looking for names for Deeb's studio there, the Room Room. You might notice his camera looks a little different there. We're doing some technical stuff this week that's a little different than usual, but we'll be back to the his same good look. But you sound good. He sounds good, doesn't he? Doesn't he, Mikey?
Sounds great.
Yeah. La 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 la.
Oh my God, we're ending this now. All right, let's go to the future and hear from Godin Classic. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've got to call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. All right, guys, we are here in the future. How you been? What have you been doing over all this time? I know to you it's only been like 30 or 60 seconds or something like that, but for us it's been an entire week because we have a future machine, and that's how this show rolls. You guys, we are so close to 1,000. I can feel it. Double digits. We just need like 50 or 60 more subscribers, and we are finally at 1,000 subscribers. That's kind of a big deal for such a little channel like ours, and that's all because of you guys, the Nerd Herd. My gosh, man, some of you guys are rocking it. Did you see Anthony got a freaking Yahtzee on that wide body 964 last week? For you guys watching the timeline, it might be 2 weeks ago or something like that, but yeah, he got a Yahtzee. What the hell, man?
I have a theory on that, JP.
Yeah, what's that?
Bring a trailer is fixed. It's fixed.
That's what it is. BS. You are messing up your camera now.
There's no way you could bid that low and be right unless it's the whole system is rigged. I'm telling you, this is we should. What do we need to be red pilled or something?
Come I don't on, know. Man. You know, I went back and looked at that car a little bit more closely. Had a conversation with our good friend Jason Alter, who is a 964 owner. He owns a narrow body 964 in cobalt blue. One of those just got, you know, a narrow one just a month or two ago, went for $1.50, like $1.55, like the same number as a wide body. And it's like, looking at that wide body one, I'm definitely calling BS on the TMU thing, or not TMU, yeah, on the 24,000 miles thing. There's no way that car could get that much road grime in just 24,000 miles. So I think Anthony was paying attention is what he was doing. He was looking closely. He's not an idiot like we are. So congrats to Anthony. Anthony, I actually reached out to me on the gram. We have a package going out to him for having gotten a Yahtzee. So we have stickers, we got hats coming to you, Anthony. You got a whole bunch of cool stuff.
And a basket of fruit.
Yeah, gross.
But congratulations to our first Yahtzee in the audience, at least one that was publicly done. So Anthony,
I think there have been Yahtzees in the past, and the other people, maybe Ross got one at some point or something like that, but they're all probably like, what the hell, man, I didn't get stickers and stuff.
Hey, if you
get a Yahtzee, DM us on Instagram and let us know, and just, you know, get take a screenshot of your bid, like we always tell you guys to do, and we will send you guys a care package too. Look, we've got all kinds of cool stuff coming for the 1,000. When we get to 1,000, we're gonna start sending a bunch of stuff out. So there it is. All right, guys, you've been waiting.
Name the studio.
Yeah, you guys have been waiting for the results on this Ferrari, this 348 little black beauty. What happened, Michael Deeb? What are the results of this car?
JP, somebody bought your car, man.
I know, dude.
On Bring a Trailer, we're looking at that 1995 348 Spider. This is the car that previously brought $67,000 in August of 22. JP, that's less than a year ago. And so we wondered if it would do that again, since inflation, right? It cost of money has gone up. So has the value of this Ferrari gone up as well? The answer to that question, John, is going to be a resounding yes. While I said that the car would stay kind of flat at 65,000, you and Mikey P both bid essentially 60 grand, taking a much more conservative route, saying that the market has also gone down despite inflation going up. And we were all wrong because the car sold on Bring a Trailer for a whopping $80,500 on a remarkable 41 bid. So a lot of action. So, John, if the car brought 67 last time, 68 call it, and it brought almost 81 this time, the car's gone up like $14,000-$15,000. That's more than just the value of inflation, right? I mean, that's suggesting that gated Ferraris, I think, have gone up. And that this car is also desirable, as they've put the original wheels back on and cleaned it up a little bit, and didn't really add any more miles to the car. So this guy didn't really drive the car, but he cleaned it up and turned around and sold it for more money. Actually sounds like you did buy the car, JP.
Well, I mean,
so look, what do you think of that result?
I think he's listening to what you always say, which is originality, sells the car. I mean, you know, an original set of wheels may not look as good as maybe some upgrades, but you know, this one that did it, all just getting all those little things right, really made the car look right and was appealing to people who might be trying to park their money to hedge against inflation. I mean, look, it's not likely that people are going out and getting loans on cars like this, even though that is possible. You know, interest rates are going up, but I still think most of the mobility, that is most of the cash that's going in, most of the money that's going into the purchase of, you know, kind of blue chip collectible classic cars, is money that people have. It's dry powder, right? And they're sitting there going, yep, what do I do with this cash to protect it against inflation? And again, this isn't financial advice. We're not saying that it's necessarily a good idea to hedge against inflation with a classic car, but maybe. I mean, apparently a pile of people are thinking that, because I just don't think people, you know, not only are loans more expensive because of interest rates, but the lenders are getting a lot tighter. You know, they're asking for a lot more. You know, dude, 2 years ago, you could have gone in with a napkin that says you make $1 million from, you know, a year from Joe Blow, you know, startup company. And they'd be like, all right, here's a loan for 0.2% for 250 grand. Go for it. Go get a Lambo. But now, you know, they want everything. We had Lucky Lopez on, you know, a week or so ago. And, you know, he's all about that kind of, you know, the actual dealer network and what's going on in that world. And, you know, the banks are just freezing up. There is a credit crunch. Banks are going, right, we don't know what's going on with interest rates. So they're just going, we're just not going to do anything for a minute and maybe take a pause. So yeah, I think that this just goes back to the D book, you know, make your car as original as possible. And black on black is just a color combo that always looks good.
Yeah, it does. You're right. You're so right, JP. And look, it's not like this guy had, this is the insult, right? This guy didn't have to go buy those original wheels. They were included in the sale. But when the previous guy sold the car, he left the chrome-plated 360 Modena wheels. And I assure you that the 360 wheels never left Modena in chrome, which means somebody took those wheels, dipped them in chrome, and then he put them on the car, and then included the 17-inch throwing star wheels with the sale. So all this guy did was put those wheels on and turn around and make $15,000 on the car. I mean, man, oh man, did the previous owner leave money on the table, or just do, you know, a piss poor job of bringing the car to market. JP, question for you and the Nerd Herd. Is it any coincidence that crypto and Lambo rhyme?
Probably. I'm sure that has everything to do with, yeah, there's an ish coin for you, the Lambo coin. You know, I don't know, the previous owner just didn't have it together. Maybe the previous owner was like Dylan Mulvaney or something like that, and made a yeah, I just went there. All right, you guys, what do you think of the results of this black on black Ferrari? I sure like it. I know my partner does. I wish it was a car that was going in my garage, but it's not. Alas, I guess I'm stuck with Porsches. Let us know in the comments below what you think of the results. And you know what we haven't seen, Deeb? The Nerd Herd has been doing a really good job in commenting on stuff and, you know, spreading the word and everything like that, and bidding on the cars along with us and playing the Price is Right game. But I'm not seeing a lot of suggestions for cars that they want us to talk about. Occasionally we get that in the DMs on Instagram, and I do a kind of a crappy job, you know, paying attention to that. But we do love seeing you guys over on the gram and on the other socials. So find us there and DM us directly. DMing really makes it a lot easier for me to keep track of the cars that we, you know, some people put in the comments. But, you know, let's see some more. Let's see some more suggestions for cars that you think are the most interesting car.
I think part of that's on us, JP, is Michael G. literally is like, hey, why don't you guys cover an XJR? And then brought it up a second time, and we still haven't covered one. Yeah, that was a Valium effort, but anyway, we will Valium get one effort. But please do remember Prince Valium. But anyway, give us some suggestions and make it easier. Otherwise, we're just going to keep doing Ferraris and Porsches, which obviously we never get tired of. But anyways, let us know what you think. It does help. Appreciate it.
You know, on our abysmal views, it's funny, you look at our videos and you see the ones that, like, I think the video that we did about that stupid Cobra R Mustang just took off.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I was like, what? Our least favorite car of the week or the month. That, I was like, come
that's awesome.
On, man.
And the good news is, JP, I promised you in that video that we would cover another one because I want to show you that those cars sell for $100,000. And the Herd is with me. Trust me. That I love that that car went viral for us. Let's go.
Gag. All right, guys. We will see you tomorrow with the most interesting car of the day. Thanks for sticking around. Bye.